I do appreciate the opportunity that I've been given to stand before you today. It's a great honor to be called a God. I didn't feel worthy and fought the call for some time. Still don't feel worthy, but I feel honored that He's used me. You pray for me today as I try to speak for a while. I want to use one verse of scripture from Ephesians 6, 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The apostle in this chapter, he's using the armor of a Roman soldier and then comparing it to spiritual things. We're in a spiritual warfare. If you don't know that, you're probably losing. There is a warfare within us, each one of us. The Apostle Paul in the 7th chapter of the Roman letter talks about a warfare within him. He admits that he transgressed. He said, that I hate, I do. That I wouldn't, I do not. If you're born again, child of God, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. As the apostle said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Your inner man is perfect. But this outward flesh, we have the Adam's nature in that. The spiritual side of us would do everything to please God. But the fleshly side of us wants to do what pleases the flesh. So there is a warfare. In order to win the war, we have to work at it. We have to constantly be keeping our bodies under subjection to the will of God. Difficult job. It's that way because we are born sinners into the world. Paul said, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know the story of Adam, I'm sure, and that's what happened. Through Adam, death passed upon him and all the human race because of sin. There's much said about us being sinners. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 7:20, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Isaiah, the prophet in the Old Testament, he said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. And he's laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. Paul said in Romans 3:10, it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. He said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I've heard of people that say they don't sin. Well, I got some news for them. They need to read John 1:8. And then read verse 10. John is stronger than anybody. He said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In that 10th verse, just below that, he said, if we have no sins, we make God out to be a liar. We are sinners in this flesh. If you've been born again, you're not a sinner within. You've been created anew within, but outwardly you still have that flesh. And there is a war between the spirit, your spirit, and your flesh continually. We need to win the war. There's also a war between us and the devil. The Apostle Peter said the devil is our adversary. He's out to get us. He wants to bring us down. Peter said that he is like a roaring lion walking about, seeing who he could devour. Think about that, what it'd be like for a roaring lion to be walking about around you. I think we could have trailed, do a lot of running. We need to avoid the devil. When possible, put him in his place. He is our adversary. He don't like us. He don't like the Lord. He don't like God the Father. He don't like the Holy Spirit. He's the enemy of all. We're in a war with him. You see, Jesus called him the father of lies. He called him the father of lies because he told the first one back there in the Garden of Eden. God had told them if they eat of that forbidden fruit that they would die. And the devil comes along, disguised as a serpent, and he tells them, oh, you won't surely die. He lied to us. He lied to you. He lied to me. He lies to everybody. He's a liar. He's the father of it. And there's a war between us and him. We need to fight the good fight. James says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. It's the only way. God's on our side. We need to submit ourselves to God, and he will help us. We're not big enough to take him on by ourselves, but when God steps in, he's not big enough for us. Can't handle us. When God moves in on the scene, he can take care of the devil. We need to seek his help. Yes, we need to put on the whole armor of God. It's important that we do that. The first piece of armor that he talked about was the girdle, having your loins girded about with truth. Truth is like an armor. Where would we be without the truth? And we can't reach lost souls today without truth. Paul said to Timothy, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. Boy, I'm so thankful for the church. Did you know Jesus went to Calvary? Jesus bled and died. But if he hadn't established his church, commissioned it, and sent it into the world, you and I would be lost today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We would have never heard the truth had it not been for the true church of the Lord. And people today still need the church, because it is pillar in the ground of the truth and still in the world. I'm so thankful. But Jesus could have died for us, did die for us, but we'd have never known it without the church. And listen, that makes the church a very valuable thing. Takes the message to the world. It was commissioned to do so. Because the world needs the truth. They need to know that they're sinners. They need to know that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. They need to know that Jesus died at Calvary for them. They need to know the truth. And the church is the pillar and ground of that. All of us that have been born again, we know some truth. And we need to let the world about us know the truth. That's a wonderful piece of armor in the spiritual war. Wouldn't be no war without it. We just lost already. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, know you're saved. He said, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Those old soldiers of long ago, they had armor, had a breastplate made of metal that would shield them. We need to put on the breastplate of righteousness, he said. Well, I've already told you that we are sinners in the flesh. We can't be perfect, but we ought to try. We ought to do the best that we can. We can't be perfect, but what we can do, if we will work at it, we can get our life in condition that folks will have respect for us. If you get involved in sins, and people lose their respect for you, you can witness, but they won't listen to you. They won't listen to you. We've got to have respect to carry this message to a lost and dying world. He says, put on this blessed plate of righteousness. We can't just be perfectly righteous. Boy, we can work at it, and we can live the kind of life that people will respect us. And when we witness to them, they'll believe. It's important that we live a good life before the world. Preachers say, preachers have got to live their life where they have respect of people, or their sermons won't be listened to. They won't be heard. They won't go anywhere. The preacher will lose his ministry. As I was thinking about this sermon today, I thought about a preacher. Back when I was in my 20s, there was a man that was a very popular preacher. I can remember him preaching the doctrinal sermon before the Siloam Association. He did a fantastic job. He was highly respected all over. And he was a pastor. But when I was in my 20s, I run a Royal Crown Cola route And I run that down in my part of the country, Macon County, Trousel. There was a little country store that I'd be there once a week. And there was a widow woman that run that store. And one day I went in there, and that preacher was sitting there in a chair. That might have been not been too uncommon. But the next Sunday, next week when I come by, he was sitting right there. The next week when I come by, he was sitting right there. In a few weeks, I saw there was something going on here that shouldn't be. I decided there must have been an affair going on here. I knew him, but he didn't. I'd heard him preach, but he didn't really know me. Wasn't long that I heard that his church had excluded him for having an affair with that woman. He lost his ministry. We have to live upright if we want folks to listen to us and get the message. And that's what we need. We need to live a life that they'll have confidence in us. Yes, you can do things that people won't have any confidence in you, and I could do the same. We need to be careful. Earn the respect of people about us. And when we witness to them or preach to them, they'll listen and they'll get the message. For lost people need to get the message. He said, having your feet shod with the gospel of peace. Don't know much about the shoes that they wore back in the Romans, a Roman soldier, but they must wore some that would protect. But what it says to me, that we must be ready to go. Got our shoes on, ready to go. Down in Egypt, children of Israel, they observed the Passover, and they were to do that with their shoes on and ready to go. The thing here to us is we need to be ready to go. When God speaks to you to witness to somebody, you need to witness to them. A few days ago, I witnessed to a man I hadn't known very long ago. He works on a lawnmower occasion. He's worked on a lawnmower 5 or 6 times maybe. Kind of got acquainted with him. I liked him and he liked me. But a few days ago, he was working on my lawnmower and I asked him if he was a Christian. He said, I hadn't been in church in 60 years. And he went on. He didn't believe nothing. He was so bad in unbelief that I told him he's going to hell. And he said, well, I've got to be somewhere. Now, you're talking about an unbelief. That man's in unbelief. You all pray for him. But I believe he liked me. And I don't think the Lord will let him forget what I told him. We need to be ready to go when the Lord asks us to witness. And when the preacher is moved on to go and preach, he needs to go and preach. It's important that we're ready. Well, you're not ready. Unless you know something about the word. The preacher is admonished to study to show himself a workman, need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. A preacher is not ready to go until he has studied the word of God and he knows what he's talking about. Christians need to be in church on Sunday, listen to the preacher that's preaching the truth. Need to be in Sunday school and study the Word of God. Need to be in Bible study and study the Word of God. Need to study at home, read the Bible, and study for yourself. Learn all that you can about it. And when you need to witness, you'll have something to say. And sometimes you run into people who will give you other scriptures. And you need to be able to answer them. Sometimes they ask hard questions. But if you study, learn something about the Word of God, you can tell them something. And you can always tell them what the Lord's done for you. We need to take the shield of faith. What he said. Faith is a real shield. You know, they had those old metal shields and they'd shoot arrows at them and they'd hold that shield out and the arrows would just bounce off. I tell you what, if you go to work for the Lord and you witness to people and if you're a preacher and preach to people, there's going to be people talking back to you. There's going to be people talking about you, but you need the faith for a shield. If you really got faith in what you're telling people, what you're preaching to them, if you really got faith in that and you can stand on it, you know what you're talking about, then you can just let the words bounce off. Just like it did those old shields. You know, there's people who give you a hard time. But if you've got the kind of faith that you need, the words just bounce off. Because you know you're right. You know you're telling them what they need. I hear people all the time talking about today is the worst it's ever been. Now, folks, it's not good. I admit that. Times are bad. Things are terrible. But it's not as bad as it's been. I'm afraid most people don't know that. In the New Testament, the new church, Jesus was crucified, and then the disciples, all but John, I think, was killed, had their lives taken, and John was put on the Isle of Patmos, out there in a wilderness-like place where they thought that he couldn't do any harm. But if you read the scriptures, the more they were persecuted, the more they went, and people were saved everywhere. Read the book of Acts, and it uses words like multiplied. It even talks about thousands. Wouldn't you like to see thousands saved around here? But they were being persecuted, but they didn't stop. They went ahead. The Jews and the idolaters, they persecuted them right and left. But still, they just kept drifting out, churches being established, and they just kept moving on out. Later years, the Catholic Church was organized, and they began to persecute God's people, real people. You know, during the Dark Ages, there's 10 kings or emperors gave their power to the Pope. And that was known as the Holy Roman Empire. The Holy Roman Empire during the Dark Ages, scholars say they killed 50 million Anabaptists. Anabaptists, Anna was put unto the Baptists because they rejected the Pope's sprinkling. If you've got an encyclopedia when you get home, read about Inquisition. The Emperor in Spain sent his soldiers into the Netherlands. They went in there questioning them, and when they give the wrong answer, didn't like the Pope's baptism, whatever, they killed them right on the spot. Spanish armies. Second Inquisition, they didn't even ask them nothing. They just went in and killed them right and left. We've got it good. Did you know in early America, before this country had become a country of its own, before the Revolution, before we got freedom from Great Britain, that Baptists were jailed right here in our country for preaching the gospel? Sometimes they were beaten with whips, got stripes. Well, the Lord was on our side. He gave us a country where we have freedom. But brethren and sisters, today you can go and preach the gospel in most of the world. Did you know that? Had you ever thought about that? Brothers and sisters, it's not as bad as it has been. We've got it good to what our forefathers and them back there had it. We've got it good. Let's use this opportunity that we have to take this message to lost and dying people. He said, take the helmet of salvation. I tell you what, if you've been saved, if you've been saved, know that you've been saved. No matter what kind of hardship comes your way, you can say, hey, it's going to get better down the road. Oh, it is, isn't it? Yeah, you can say, I won't have to put up with this anymore down the road. If you are a child of God, if you've really been saved, you've got a heavenly country that you're going to where everything is just right. Father's house is pure gold, and we're going to live there with him where everything is just right. Boy, when things is bad, tell yourself, it's going to get better. Because it is. Can you imagine that? Being in this a wonderful place described by John in that heavenly country. It's hard to imagine. You won't have to worry about getting shot in heaven. There's no shootings. There's no robberies. There's no thieves. There's no killers. Not in heaven. They'll be in hell. We have all kinds of troubles and trials. But over there, God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. There will be no funeral homes. There's no dying. There's no cemeteries over there. There's nobody dying to bury. There's no hospitals or practicing doctors because there's nobody sick and will never be sick. Everything, friends, is just right. If you're saved, take the helmet of salvation with you. When things are bad, say, oh, it's going to get better. Brothers and sisters, it is. It is. And that's a big comfort to be able to say, it's going to get better. It's going to get better and down the way. He said, carry the sword of the Spirit. I've already talked about the truth, but the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. The Spirit uses the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the way that it comes. I've already told you that. But the Apostle Paul said, our gospel come not to you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost. I hear preachers talking like that God just takes faith and sticks into you. That's not the way it works. God, the Holy Spirit, the sword of the Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. Or when the word is witnessed or when it's preached, the Holy Spirit endues the word with power. What he does, if people will humble themselves and listen to the word, let the Holy Spirit deal with them, he'll make a believer out of them. That's the way it works. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to believe. But Paul asked, how can we believe without a preacher? Oh, you got to hear the message. You got to hear the message. Or you can hear about a witness. But I'm afraid you'd run out of witnesses if you didn't have a preacher. But listen. You got to hear the message. And the Holy Spirit comes in. And he makes it real. He makes it real. He makes heaven real and makes hell real. All the night that I got saved, hell was very real. The end of the world was awful close. I was just like the psalmist in the 116th division of Psalms. The sorrows of death compassed me. Some people pronounce that compassed, but it's compassed. What it means, sorrows of death and hell were all around him. Sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me. Listen, that's when you call on the Lord. I mean, you really call. I prayed 1,000 prayers or more, I guess, from the time I was lost until I got saved. But that night, I really called on the Lord. When you get in that condition, or when all of that becomes real, or when it comes to real, or that you're afraid, that you're frightened, or you'll call on the Lord. I called on him that night. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. Called my mother and dad out of bed to pray for me. And when they got through praying, I was worse shape than before because I wasn't saved and they'd prayed for me. But I remembered what they told me. What God's people have been telling me and the preachers have been telling me is that Jesus saves. And I can remember just looking toward heaven and saying, Lord, if I'm ever saved, you're going to have to do it. I don't think words meant anything. But at that time, what I did is I just put my soul in his hands and peace flooded my soul. Listen, we need to take the sword with us. It's the sword of the Spirit. We need the Spirit of God with us. And he will help us. When we witness, he will make the word truth to them. They might not believe us, but the Holy Spirit can make it real. And it's the same thing. Same thing when The preacher was there. I want to close with this. After he'd give us the armor, he said to pray always. And he said to pray for me. All folks, we need to be praying always. Always. You need to talk to the Lord and to the Father. Need to do that all the time. I hear people have certain places that go when they pray. That's good if that's the way you feel like doing it. I talk to the Lord all day long, wherever I'm at. There's sometimes children talk to imaginary friends. You ever seen that or heard of it? It happens. Not too often, but it happens. The children have imaginary friends and talk to them all day. My friend's not imaginary. He's real. I can talk to him any time of the day, anywhere. We need to pray. We need to talk to the Lord because we need His power and His help. Without His power, we are nothing. But He commissioned the church, as we had in Sunday school this morning. All power, He said, is given to me in heaven and earth. He's got it. He's got it. And He has promised to be with us all the way to the end of the world. Oh, let's talk to the Lord. Let's get His guidance. Let us get His help to defeat the devil. Let's get His help that we can defeat our flesh, ourselves, and that we can do the things that we need to do, leave off the things that we ought not to do. We need to pray and pray. We had a number of requests this morning. We need to pray for people. People are all kinds of conditions. Everybody needs our prayers. In fact, don't we? We need to pray for one another constantly because we have problems that we don't talk about, don't we? Sure. We need to pray and pray. You can't do too much of that. Can't do too much of that. Aren't you thankful that you can pray to the Lord? The psalmist said, I love the Lord because He heard my voice and my supplications, because He's inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call Him as long as I live. If you're saved, you called on Him one time and you know that He heard you. We need to call on Him as long as we live. I appreciate the opportunity to be with you today. I probably made Brad look real good. But I'm honored to be here today. I appreciate His confidence in me. Appreciate Him calling me. And let's pray for one another. You pray for me. When you're about to pray, remember Brother Curtis said, pray for me. And remember me in your prayers. That'll be my message this morning. Is there a word on the heart of anybody?